This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
And barbecue guest hotline. Good morning, Travis. How are you today?
I'm great.
Players only meeting, Travis. What do you make of those? We lose Travis?
When you haven't when you haven't given up 17 non-conference FBS opponents since the 2015 season opener, which was Wisconsin, there's an increased sense of urgency. But, you know, I wasn't surprised by it. I predicted 17 points for Colorado State in the game. First of all, you watch them on offense, a three-starter quarterback in Nick, really nice weapons around him conceptually. Mike Bobo and Will Friend do a really good job with that offense. And, you know, I don't know if Alabama realized it Saturday night. Certainly Sean Dion Hamilton, I don't think did. He wasn't pleased, obviously, with things after the game. But I think big picture-wise, it can be a positive for a defense that, you know, with all the injuries and what they're kind of working through right now, a lot of inexperienced guys out there. And so, you know, it's been a 2 week sort of stretch here where then the potential for a lot of learning going on for a defense replacing a lot to begin with from last year.
That's a fair point. What about offensively? What's your takeaway from Alabama's performance against the Rams there?
Looks like they're pretty well committed to that running game that starts with the quarterback position. Jalen Hurts for the second straight week. We see Brian Daboll get Jalen involved very, very quickly in the run game as much as anything else. And I said it before, I've written it on BamaOnline.com. It just seems like Jalen gets into his comfort zone a little bit quicker when you do that with him, when you let him go full dual threat and open up the entire game to him, and not try to make him something he isn't, which is a down-in, down-out pocket passer. So it looks like they're committed to a lot of that zone read game and the RPOs that come off of it. And I'd say the last 2 weeks have been pretty impressive. Of course, the opponents haven't been what Florida State was in the season opener. But I think as much as anything, it just looks like they're pretty well committed to an approach that starts with Jalen.
Should there be any concern that the quarterback is the leading rusher?
I don't know. He had nearly 1,000 yards last year. He was second on the team in rushing last year, led him in carries. I think the biggest concern is sustainability from a standpoint of his health. And I think that's a reason why when you look down on the sideline, when Alabama has the ball, Tua Tagovailoa isn't hanging out by the Powerade. You know, he's right there within, you know, earshot of the offensive staff on the field. And not only that, he has his helmet on. He's ready to go. So, you know, that tells me that, you know, they're aware of some of the pitfalls potentially of that approach. But I think he's so much better when he's in that mode. Guy that needs to sort of be the approach you take with him.
Travis Ryer is with us, BamaOnline.com. What I think is interesting as much as anything else, I am of the opinion that Alabama's best football player is Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I like trying to figure out before every game or almost before every series just exactly what they do with him, because he can line up anywhere and chances are he's going to be the best. That, you know, when he lines up at safety, he's the best safety. When they line him up at corner, he's the best corner. When they, you know, when they hybrid him at a linebacker, he can cover ground more than any linebacker they've got. Do you see any rhyme and reason with how they use Minkah, or do they? I mean, he's just a football player, and just throw him out there and let him go after the football. How do they use him?
I think you touched on it. I think wherever you put him, you feel like you have that sense of security and knowing you have the best possible option in that spot. The problem is they can't put him everywhere on every play. So you're right, though, Barry. It's it's a down by down situation with him. If they're in their base defense, you know, he's going to be at safety. If they're in sort of a goal line short yardage look, he's out at corner. If they're in the nickel, he's at star. If they're in dime, he's at money. I've never seen a defensive back utilized in the way that they use him in all the different spots. Now, you know, one of the things that I think some people out there worry about is in spreading him so thin, are you getting maximum production out of him? You know, he's doing so much. Is there the opportunity for him to really hone in and be as productive as he can be? We'll find out about that, but I understand it because, as we just talked about, you know, it's a nice situation to have when you feel like in each of your primary packages, you can put the guy exactly where you need him to be and feel like he's the best player on the field at that position.
Travis Ryer, Bama Online, joining us here this morning. How about some injuries? Miller Fortall out for the year, ACL. What does that do for the tight end position?
Yeah, it makes you wonder if they may go more three wide receiver sets, although, you know, their top two options at the position are still in place. And Hale Hinches, who I think has really improved, especially as a blocker in space. That was something he struggled with last year. The game at Ole Miss, he missed a block, and Ardarius Stewart ended up getting knocked out of the game with a knee injury in large part because of that. But he has definitely stepped up his game this year. Irv Smith Jr., the sophomore, has been in those two tight end sets with Hinches. So right now, at least at the time of Forrestall's injury, you're looking at a number three tight end. But Forrestall gives you so much versatility at the position, too. He makes you a little more flexible formation-wise, and that if he's in the game in a two-wide receiver set, you can flex him out, and he's essentially a wide receiver. So it hurts. But as for how they'll go from here, you know, it could be one of the two true freshmen or both that jump into the mix now, and Tennyson and James. It could be Ronnie Clark, a veteran who has bounced between running back and tight end, who can step in there and help you in some H-back situations, tight end as well. So we'll see how they go from here. They have some options, but you know, Forrestall was a nice piece of that mix for them.
Travis Ryer is with us. It's BamaOnline.com, getting some perspective on Crimson Tide football. Any change in your perspective over three games about the overall special teams at Alabama, including the placements, the kicking game?
I think Andy Papanastas Saturday night was maybe the top highlight of the game for Alabama in terms of alleviating some concerns about his range, you know, and nailing 46 and 43-yard field goals. He helped quell some of those concerns, I guess you could say. And he's now 7 of 9 on the season. His only two misses came against Florida State. They were both of 40-plus yards. Again, so to see him make those look easy against Colorado State was a big relief, I would think, for the Alabama coaching staff. And, you know, J.K. Scott isn't averaging 40 yards per punt, which may raise some eyebrows, but not so much when you consider 8 of his 11 punts this year have been down inside opponents' 20. So, you know, he's been affecting field position a lot of times on a shorter field, more so than needing to flip the field, which explains his average of 39.6 right now. The return game hasn't been exactly electric with Henry Ruggs III and Trayvon Diggs back there on kickoffs and punts, but the one thing the two young players have done is take care of the football. They have not turned it over, and I'm sure that in time we'll see some more big plays. And, oh, they had two huge plays on special teams in the opener, you know, the block punt, the block field goal, the forced fumble down inside the Florida State 15 that Keith Holcomb recovered. That was really what changed that entire game with special teams. So I'd say all in all, it's been really good other than the long kickoff return that Fresno State had in week two.
I know the defensive coaches are glad that Rashawn Evans and Anthony Jennings, Dylan Moses are back at practice. And unfortunately, a couple of guys were lost for the year at that position in the Florida State game. Of the guys that are there and the guys that are returning from injury, Who's that alpha dog, Travis, in the Reuben Foster, Rolando McClain, Dante Hightower mode? To me, that seems to be what has been missing at that position, is that guy that's kind of the quarterback of the defense.
I think the quarterback is Sean Dion Hamilton at linebacker, and you know Minka certainly fits that role too in the back end of the defense. I think Ronnie Harrison has come on more in that regard as well. But Rashawn Evans was expected to be that sort of all over the field playmaker, and we've seen him for a half in three games. And, you know, as of course he had the groin pull against Florida State and at the end of the first half there in that game. So, you know, getting him back I think will help in that regard. Have I seen from anyone else though that there is another Reuben Foster on this defense? I haven't seen that yet. You know, and those guys are. Aren't exactly easy to find, so we'll see. I think Keith Holcomb has been very good in stepping up at the inside linebacker position while Rashawn Evans has been out, and I think in doing so, both he and Mac Wilson to go along with Sean Dion Hamilton give them some flexibility with Rashawn coming up here on his return. You know, they're probably going to be in their base defense, as Nick Saban pointed out yesterday, a good bit against Vanderbilt on Saturday. Now, if that's the case, they need two solid outside linebackers on the field a good bit. You know, it could be Jamie Mosley and Rashawn Evans that are those outside guys if they feel like, you know, Holcomb and Wilson sort of give them the freedom to do that with Rashawn.
On the opposing side or the opposition this week in Nashville, Ralph Webb with the second leading rusher in the conference coming into this year. And what are your thoughts on him? And Kyle Shermer, pretty good statistics, 8 touchdowns, 0 picks, averaging about 234 a game. Could the competition maybe have something to do with those numbers?
They could, and that's why you're concerned about Ralph Webb. If you're a Vanderbilt fan right now in that run game for Vandy in general, because in their 2 FBS wins out of the 3 games they've played, Middle Tennessee and K-State, they failed to rush for 100 yards or more in those games. And I want to say in those 2 games combined, Ralph Webb had just 95 rushing yards. So, you know, that's a problem. And as good as Kyle Shermer has been, as efficient as Kyle Shermer has been, you don't want to get in a situation Saturday with Alabama where you're putting it entirely on your quarterback. And even with Alabama's pass rush maybe not being what it was a year ago, that's still going to make life pretty tough on your quarterback. So they need to figure out a way to get Webb going. You know, he's rushed for over right around 3,500 yards for his career. But it's been tough for both he and that running game. Again, against FBS competition, throwing the win over Alabama A&M out of that mix.
Okay, I got 2 non-football questions I got to throw at you. Once again, what was the name of that restaurant you told me across from Chuck's, the new Mexican place?
Latin place.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Central Mesa. We got plenty of Mexican places here. We finally have a Latin place.
Central Mesa. And
Central Mesa, definitely. Tickets.
Yeah, I'm coming up tomorrow night, so that's the place I'm heading. Mm. Okay, also.
Yeah, John never took Latin, so.
Yeah, no kidding. A week from tomorrow night, are tickets still available for Hall & Oates at the amphitheater? Because I am there.
Yeah, I think they are. You know, yeah. I think they were even running a $20 special.
Whoa.
Which is more up your alley.
So, yeah, no kidding.
You know,
I can just work my way to the front row.
Yeah
man, that is awesome.
Negotiate the ticket fees out of that charge.
A little private eyes, kiss on my list. Man, that was
he doesn't like Man Eater. I think Man Eater's their best other than Sarah Smile.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm planning on being there. You know, when your kids, your 20 and 22-year-olds are like, I want to go see Hall & Oates. That tells you maybe
well, that's kind of my plan.
Yeah.
I've got 2 in the early 20s as well.
You also got St. Paul and the Broken Bones opening up a band in Birmingham that's really good. So get there early.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
I'm sorry, who?
They're good. They're really good. They're soulful. They're bluesy in some ways. I like Hall & Oates. I'll be there for Hall & Oates. But I'm just telling you, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, the real deal.
Man, I'm getting my tickets today. Yeah, I can't miss that at the amphitheater. Good stuff, Hall. And I was kind of hoping they would come into Montgomery, but that's a whole other story. All right, Travis, before we let you go.
Well, they're only going to big league cities, guys.
Love it. Hey, before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can become more involved with what you guys do there at BamaOnline.com.
Thanks, guys. Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247Sports.com. Either way, it'll get you done.
Great stuff. Hey, we'll talk next Tuesday. Hey, I'll see you next Tuesday at the amphitheater. Looking forward
Sounds
to
good.
It. All right, buddy.
I'll let you buy me a beer.
And I'll count on it.
That's right.